Hallelujah. It is a privilege to join in with you today. And I just want to join in worshiping the Lord with you. We give all glory, honor, and praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to him be glory indeed. To Reverend and Pastor Brooks, his family, deacons, elders, leaders, ministry leaders, and you members of St. John Baptist Church, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's give him praise. And I don't ever want to get used to this wonderful privilege to talk about Jesus. And even more, to have him as my own. And as I sit here singing the songs, as our dear brother leads us in worship, I can go back to a time where I remember when I didn't have him for myself. I submit to you, the greatest answer that this world could ever know is having the free pardoning of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Because when you have Jesus Christ in your heart, it changes everything. So that you're not walking this life road alone. I just want to testify. One of my favorite hymns, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Don't we have a good God? And I'll testify this. There are times where I'm like, well, Jesus, I don't know what to do right here. But I trust you. Take my hand and walk me through it. A lot can happen in a year or two. I praise the Lord for the birth to the Brooks household and have a little one. And these are the joys of life we should relish. This season, as our dear pastor has shared, can be a tough time because we can recall people who've gone on to be with the Lord. And the memory is sweet. I hope y'all might testify for a little bit. I had a big sister went to be with Jesus about 2 years ago, Charlene. And there's some people God puts in your life just love you for who you are. And to me, she'd say Charles Jr. So I praise God for what he's accomplished in my life, but degrees and all that alone, I'm just Charles Jr. Step out of a board meeting, Charles Jr., what are you doing? And she loved me with the love of Jesus. And when the Lord calls someone home like that, you miss them. Grateful that she's free, but when you compare earthly love with the love of God, you can see the difference. Can I just testify for a moment? Because this world has conditional love. If you do this, then I'll treat you this way. If I give you this, then I'll... But the love of God is not like that. The love of God is sacrificial. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So I rejoice that my sister is in heaven, and one day I'll get to see her. And since then, I had two nieces went to be with Jesus too. So I say this not to bring you down, but to give gravity to this moment, that we have a God that will comfort us through our seasons of sorrow and bring us into times of joy. And so I rejoice with you today. And if you have your Bibles, and I won't be too long, I'll try my best. We're going to be in the book of Amos with the topic of let justice roll down like waters. I read to you from Amos chapter 5. And if you're able, you can stand with me as I read. And I want to back it up a little bit to verse 14. By God's grace, his word. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And thus may the Lord God of hosts be with you, just as you have said. Amos 5, verse 14, now 15. Hate evil, love good, and establish justice in the gate. Perhaps the Lord God of hosts may be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the Lord, There is wailing in the plazas and in all the streets. They say, alas, alas. And they also call the farmer to mourning and professional mourners to lamentation. And in all the vineyards there's wailing, because I will pass through the midst of you, says the Lord. Verse 18, alas, you are longing for the day of the Lord. And for what purpose will the day of the Lord be to you? It will be darkness and not light, as when a man flees from a lion and a bear meets him, or goes home and leans his hand against the wall and a snake bites him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness instead of light, even gloom with no brightness in it? Here's some strong words from the Lord of hosts. I reject your festivals, nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. And I will not even look at the peace offerings of your fatlings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, and I will not even listen to the song of your hearts. And here's our key verse. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. God's word for God's people. You may be seated. Our message, let justice roll down like water. The book of Amos from the prophet Amos is one that often is overlooked in scripture. I'm 54 years old by the grace of God, and I could probably count on my hand minus two fingers how many times I've heard from pulpits someone preach the book of Amos. You probably recall the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. would often quote that verse that we just shared. And the Bible has much to say to us about justice and righteousness. In fact, God's character and nature includes those perfections. He is perfectly just in his rule and his judgments, and he's perfectly right in his standards. This is our God. God called a man by the name of Amos to say some hard things to the children of Israel when they forgot to honor God in the land they were blessed with. And as I reflect on this book and on the passages that we read and will read, I'm reminded of a time of judgment in my own life. I was raised in New Jersey, but I was raised by a Southern gentleman from Albany, Georgia. And I don't know if y'all know about this thing. They have something, an instrument of judgment in the life of a kid growing up called a switch. Is anybody familiar with that? Oh, there's a few people who've heard about that, right? Well, this instrument was growing in abundance on our trees in our yard because we had hedges all around. My father was a peaceful man. Anything in need, he said, Junior, if you're hungry, go in the refrigerator. And, you know, he worked hard, but he also didn't play. And so if he came home and he talked to my mom, and who's in Oklahoma now, dad's with the Lord, said, Sherry, how's Junior? And he discovered that I was talking back, maybe arguing and fighting with my sisters and carrying on, or maybe disrespectful at school, he'd have a conversation with me. He'd say, son, did I hear right that you did this, that, and the other? And he'd get the facts. He said, didn't I tell you that you need to mind your mother and show respect to her? Yes, sir. And then he would say these words of judgment, and I remember them till this day. Go outside and get me a... Oh, y'all heard that before, right? And don't bring no little ones, right? And I had the gripping horror of making the long walk to the tree of my judgment and snapping it off. And then I'd have to walk it all the way back to this Southern gentleman, refined. And then he'd stand up every bit of close to 6 feet, and then he'd tell me what I did and why I was getting it. And then after we was done, I had time to heal from my judgment and punishment. And then he said, don't you do that no more. Well, I could go on and on about that. But I tell you what, it put the fear of God in me so that the police didn't have to put it in me. Like, what I don't want to put shame on my father and my mother because I'm a Clemens. Oh, I can launch into a whole bunch of stuff. We live in a society where people don't fear judgment. Young people will cuss out an adult. Sadly, some families, there are people who lose their emotions, and there are men that will rail on their wives, or vice versa, wives will rail on their men. We'll take it even further out in society where elected officials, because they are empowered by their vote, that feel they have the right to call people out their name. And even worse, people being okay with that. I think y'all know what I'm talking about. And if we go even further out, where one nation feels they have the sovereign right to put their foot on another and take what they have. This goes way back. And after a while, if you watch it enough, you might ask the question, how long does this have to go on? Well, I have some good news for you today. Justice matters to God. And he is aware of what goes on in his world. And justice will be done by God. And when he brings it about, it's a fearful thing. And then also, justice must be done by God's people. That not just the ritual elements of our worship, which have their place, we ought to honor God and do things in decency and order, but the Bible teaches us he is not a respecter of persons. That how I treat my brothers and sisters is a reflection on the reality if Jesus Christ is Lord in my life. To put it plainly, the Bible says, how do you say you love God who you don't see when you don't love your brother who you do see? Can I get a witness in here? We have a God that will pour out his love in our hearts through Jesus Christ. And he in turn expects us to turn and pour it out on other people. The Apostle John says, but if you have this love and you hold it back, how does the love of God abide in your hearts? If you see your brother or sister without food or shelter, say, be warm, be filled, and you withhold it. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, help me stay focused. So the 4 points that I mentioned, and I'll even mention the last and walk through, God restores his people and he restores his world in his time. If you follow along with me and bear with me, justice matters to God. Justice will be done by God. Justice must be done by God's people, and God restores his people and his world. Sit with me, if you will, and hear the words of the Lord in Amos chapter 1 and 2. This might be lengthy, but in light of these observations from the text of Scripture, look at God at work. Chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Amos, who was among the sheep herders from Tekoa, from which he envisioned in visions concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Verse 2, he said, the Lord roars from Zion, and from Jerusalem he utters his voice. And the shepherds' pasture grounds mourn, and the summit of Carmel dries up. Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus, and for 4, I will not revoke its punishment, because they threshed Gilead with implements of sharp iron. So I will send fire upon the house of Hazael, and it will consume the citadels of Ben-Hadad. I will also break the gate bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the valley of Avon, and him who holds a scepter from Beth-Eden. So the people of Aram will go exiled to Kir, says the Lord. Verse 6, thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Gaza, and for 4, I will not revoke its punishment, because they deported an entire population to deliver it up to Edom. So I will send fire upon the wall of Gaza, and it will consume her citadels. I will also cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod and him who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. And I will even unleash my power upon Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines will perish, says the Lord God. This is the Lord talking. Verse 9. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre and for four, I will not revoke its punishment, because they delivered up an entire population to Edom and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. So I will send fire upon the wall of Tyre, and it will consume her citadels. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not revoke its punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword. While he stifled his compassion, his anger also tore continually, and he maintained his fury forever. So I will send fire upon Teman, and I will consume the citadels of Bozra. Hang with me, y'all. Verse 13. We're going somewhere with this. Verse 13, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of the son of Ammon and for four, I will not revoke its punishment, because they ripped open the pregnant women in Gilead in order to enlarge their borders. So I will kindle a fire on the wall of Rabbah, and it will consume her citadels amid war cries on the day of battle and a storm on the day of tempest. Their king will go into exile, he and his princes together, says the Lord. Verse 1. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not revoke its punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. So I will send fire upon Moab, and it will consume the citadels of Kerioth, and Moab will die amid tumult with war cries and the sound of a trumpet. I will also cut off the judge from her midst, and slay all her princes with him, says the Lord. We're not done yet. Verse 4, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not revoke its punishment, because they rejected the law of the Lord, and they have not kept his statutes. Their lies have led them astray, and those after which their fathers walked. So I will send fire upon Judah, and it will consume the citadels of Jerusalem. Verse 6, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not revoke its punishment, because they sell the righteous for money and the needy for a pair of sandals. These who pant after the very dust of the earth on the head of the helpless also turn aside the way of the humble, and a man and his father resort to the same girl in order to profane my holy name. On garments taken as pledges, they stretch out beside every altar, and in the house of their God, they drink the wine of those who have been fined. Now that is a lengthy portion of scripture. And maybe you've read this before, maybe this is new to you, but if you would note this, as I said it already, justice matters to God. We have a God that forgives. We have a God that shows mercy. He holds back what we deserve. We have a God that has grace. He gives us what we can never earn. But yet and still, he is a just God that will punish injustice and wickedness. We cannot forget that. And no matter how good things can be, one of the most dangerous things is to receive blessings from God and to be blessed and have so much and then do what many people do and nations do, turn their back on God. Because when you turn your back on him, he's the author and giver of every good thing to begin with. And he keeps us tied to a wonderful relationship with him, where he walks with us and he works with us and he changes us and he transforms us. But simultaneously, he's a just God that can punish too. The children of Israel at this time were experiencing great prosperity. If you know your Bible, King Uzziah was one of the best kings there was. He was a great leader and warrior. Economically, they're doing well. And the other king in Israel, because at this time there's Israel to the north, Judah to the south, there's a history of their separation. But Jeroboam was also a prosperous leader too. But unlike Uzziah, Jeroboam was an ungodly man. And he caused the people to worship idols. and making gods out of any and every other thing. And as we read these judgments, three transgressions of four repeated over and over, God is speaking to his people and he's walking them up just like walking to get that switch to let them know that he means business. And as if you read your Bible, it's really beautiful. If y'all ever seen those bullseyes, I don't know if you ever shot bow and arrow when shooting, a bullseye kind of, it has a circle, right? And right in the middle zeroes in on what you're trying to hit. So God, through the prophet, starts talking about these foreign nations that are all circling the Israelites. Do you get that? He talks about ones that we just read a little while ago. He talks about Gaza, and he talks about Tyre, and he talks about Damascus. And as he's circling around, he gets closer and closer to his people, which is to say that justice matters to God for everybody. Whether they're a Christian or not, it still matters to God. And could I just say it plainly? Bible says let judgment begin at the house of God. So this is important. So he does this over and over, and then eventually he lands at Judah. And he says, for three transgressions and for four. And he tells them what the issue is. You've rejected my law, you've turned from my word, and you're doing the same things your fathers have done. And that's a sobering thing. May I say this, and I'm not here to, because as I read this, this is plenty to humble myself, cause me to call to Jesus. I'm with y'all. What I'm sharing with you, I need to. Let me say it even more plainly. If God judges nations and he deals with his people, what do you think he has to say to the United States of America? That's worth praying, amen? I heard somebody say mercy. If God, if he has not changed, and he has his people all throughout the world, even in other nations, let that be a sobering thing, but I hope it is a comforting thing too. Because like that song says, trouble in my way, I have to cry sometimes. Jesus will fix it after a while. Because you can't just treat people in the old kind of way and it be okay with God. Can I get an amen on that? Let the record show that God is a God of justice. So for three transgressions and four, all the nations, including United States of America. First point, justice matters to God. Second is justice will be done by God. It's not just that he cares about these things. He's got the power to act upon them. He has the power in his hands, whether he directs it or does it by word or sins. Notice that through the history of these people, that nobody escaped from their punishment. It is the mercy of God that we don't get what we deserve. Psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name, who forgives us of all, sins and iniquities. So we don't take that lightly. But let me also say, if you read, after the pronouncement for three transgressions of four, he then turns and says, because y'all threshed these people, like he said, the way you treated them, it was like threshing wheat. You just ran all over them. You just ran all over them. He said, because you did that, this is what's happening. Now, there may be someone here or someone's online. You might be in a very difficult situation. As a hospital chaplain and as a minister, I've talked to some people who've been through some hellish circumstances. And I say that respectfully. People have been abused by their husband or wife. People who've experienced neglect, people who've had criminal activities. May I say this to you? One, God loves you. And he will never leave you. And he feels and knows your pain like nobody else. Pour your heart to him and trust that he will heal you. And when he brings his justice, you'll worship the Lord. You'll say, whoa, I actually feel bad for the person that hurt me. God will fix it. God will fix it. And this record of scripture showed how each of these nations God was going to deal with. Any student of history sees that. Even the world's dictators have their time in the sun and then they fall. Let me testify just for a moment. Having worked in healthcare, I've had the privilege to work with leaders that have helped me and mentored me and given me feedback. And that's a part of life. Here's what you can do better. Here's, oh, you're doing a great job, and it's been a joy. But I've had some leaders, some that I would not put my dog around because they would not be safe. Can I just be honest with you like that? That will say all kinds of stuff and be rude, and like when you leave the room, you need to bring people with you to keep them safe. And I've learned some things through the years. I'll tell one story. We had this one manager. I won't say his last name, but his first name was Howard. And I'm working on a rehab unit, and some of the staff there, their English wasn't too good. And I'll never forget this nurse coming to me one time said, "Charles, they're asking me to do something I'm not supposed to do." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, look at this." And this one manager, to cut costs, was having staff do things that they weren't trained or licensed for that would be potentially criminal. And they felt uncomfortable about it. And she said, "I don't know. I don't want to make any trouble, but I don't want to lose my license." And so I said, "Well, do you mind if I bring this up to Howard?" And he said, "No, go ahead." I said, "Excuse me, sir. A couple of staff have said you've been asked them to do this." And not to be too long, but I worked with the accreditation team. He said, "Well, Charles, if you have a problem with it, you can leave." That's what this man said before my youngest son was born. And I spoke the complaint, and I spoke up for the people. I said, "Well, sir, you know, this wasn't meant to be argumentative, but if that's how you feel, then I will." And so I tendered my resignation, and I started to pack up my stuff. And I'll never forget getting a knock at my office door, and the CEO of the hospital was at the door. And she said, "Charles, I understand you're leaving." I said, "Well, yeah, there was an issue. I brought it up to the manager, and I didn't think it was right, and I addressed it. I just want to go to the chain of command. I didn't want to go around him. I went to him." She said, "Well, Charles, I want you to know this. You're welcome to come to me with any issue." I said, "Well, I appreciate that." She said, "Charles, I want you to know this, that when you resign, 8 of the nurses and staff all showed up my office, and they told me what was happening, and they told me what you did. We fired Howard. We're going to give you a raise. We want you to stay." All glory and praise to God for him coming through. Why do I mention that? That as we strive to reflect our Lord and Savior and our God, there are going to be some tests along the way. To stand up for what's right will cost you. And in that instance, I praise the Lord. The Lord came through. He really came through and gave me a raise to boot as I was about to have another one in my family. But what I learned from that, if he didn't come through, he'd still be worthy of it. He'd still be worthy of it. Because he's a good God, and he's good to his children, and he wants us to reflect his justice and his righteousness in this world. What a good God. So justice will be done. And by the way, whether he does it all in this life or in some cases when people stand at the judgment, justice will be served by our God. And you can count on that. Amen. Now to this thing of justice must be done by God's people. I've already mentioned it. Chapter 5 of this book, Amos has continued to outline by the Holy Spirit what God requires of his people. Verse 14 of chapter 5, "Seek good, not evil, that you may live. And thus may the Lord God of hosts be with you, just as you've said." So God wants to bless us. Verse 15, "Hate evil, love good, and establish justice in the gate." If you're one that circles things in your Bible, if you circle gate, think systems of law. The Israelites met at the gate, and that's where they had court. If there was a dispute, if there was a disagreement, if there was some crime, and y'all know your Bible's here, that's where it was handled. God says, "That's where I want my justice to show up. wanted to show up in your life, but I wanted to show up in my people and in this nation and how you govern. And then he says, perhaps the Lord God of hosts may be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Oh, my goodness. What we do today can have a profound impact on what our children experience tomorrow. This is not intent to be a political sermon, but let Christ govern how you deal with your politics. And more specifically, how you deal with people. Oh, what a good God we serve. And then lastly, and I promise I'll take my seat, tells us in chapter 9 and verses 11 through 15, Amos spoke of a time where God will restore his people. Verse 11, it says, in that day, I will raise up the fallen booth of David and the wall up, and I'll wall up its breaches, and I will also raise up its ruins and rebuild it as the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord who does this. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman will overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed, when mountains will drip sweet wine and all the hills will be dissolved. Also, I will restore the captivity of my people Israel, and they will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. And they will also plant vineyards and drink their wine and make gardens and eat their fruit. And I will also plant them on their land. And they will not again be rooted out from their land, which I have given to them, says the Lord your God. Amen. Oh, my goodness. God promised to his people in Israel to restore them. And God has a way in this life to bring about restoration. He can restore that which is broken. He can heal, even as we prayed earlier, relationships. He can bring about even justice where those who refuse to do right will be set to right by God himself. And even in that great land, when we pass from this side over the river, there's a place where there is no sadness, no sorrow, no sickness, no evil. Old things will be new, and oh, there'll be joy forever and ever and ever. And he who sits on the throne of justice and righteousness will welcome you into his presence. And we praise the Lord for that. May on that day you hear the words, well done and good and faithful servant. I pray these blessings on you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.